Cool. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. And I'm doing things a little different with my notes this morning, so evidently it didn't recognize my face, but that's fine. Yes, welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm really happy to see all of you here today. It's a good nap day, so after this, I think a nap is in order. I kind of do that every Sunday, but I think you should all enjoy that too. So just one sort of big long announcement is that I'm in the process of planning Lent, because that's 3 weeks away. I know, we just finished Christmas, right? But we will be having an imposition of ashes service on Ash Wednesday. That's the 22nd of February. That will be with communion at 7 p.m. For those of you who are not comfortable driving in the dark, I will be here and we'll have a shorter service without communion at 2 p.m. We'll let you know about that. in writing, so you don't have to remember it right this moment. But also, we're going to start Sunday school again, and for Lent, we'll be doing a series on spiritual practices, which is helpful for Lent. And that will be at 9:30 before worship. But also, some folks had said that they would like a midweek afternoon Bible study, and we will try that out during Lent as well, at Wednesdays at 1. And those will be actual Bible studies. We'll be primarily looking at the scripture that we'll have in service on Sunday, and it might help you, if you're available, to think about and put together the scripture for the service. So with all of that in mind, I'm going to be taking a week of study leave to prepare all of this the week before Ash Wednesday. Is that the 7th? You'll know. I won't be here, and there will be somebody else preaching, and you'll be like, oh, right. She's preparing Lent. So that's all. That's the only announcement that I have. Anyone else have anything I'm missing?
Reports end of the year.
Yes, your reports. Your end of the year reports.
Good job.
Kim. Yep. You didn't win first place. No, you, Carol did. That's what I'm saying, is if you didn't turn in your reports yet, you didn't win first place, because Carol did. So yes, don't forget your end of the year reports.
Deacons cleaning supplies.
And the deacons are still collecting cleaning supplies for the food bank. All right. That seems like all we got. So let us gather together and proclaim our readiness by saying our call to worship. When we seek justice for the other, when we love kindness more than ever, we live as God asks us to live. When we walk humbly through life, when we offer mercy to those who hurt us, we are the blessing God hopes we will be. When we are willing to look foolish by following Jesus, when we choose weakness rather than power, we reflect the one who is in our midst. Please rise in body or spirit and join in our opening hymn, Come Live in the Light.
Thank you.
we come to God with open hearts and honest words, we will not be pushed away, but wrapped in God's loving and forgiving embrace. I invite you to join me as we confess our lives to God. God of justice and mercy, we confess that we have not surrendered to your ways, but have clung to our own. We do not want to show mercy because we don't believe others deserve it. We do not want to do justice because we are worried about life being unfair to us. We will not walk in humility because we do not want others to make fun of us, and we do not want to lose our spot in the rat race of life. Forgive us for our foolish, short-sighted ways. Call us into your ways of loving our neighbor as ourselves, serving others, and becoming last of all. For your only Son gave his life for us, so that we might have eternal life in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Siblings, our sins are forgiven by the faith of Christ, who chose love over hatred and forgiveness over blame. Rejoice and be glad, for God's mercy is great. Jesus brings healing, justice, and peace. Friends, let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You know what time it is, siblings, to greet one another with signs of peace. Now let's hear from our choir for their anthem. Thank you. Let us lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. Eternal God, you have laid before us a path of wholeness. You have called us to genuine community, to love and to care for one another. You give us the gift of fellowship that we might help and support one another. All creation reflects the overflowing of your love. There is no prayer that we may offer that is not already close to your heart. So we offer these prayers, knowing that you will hear them, with hope that in saying these things aloud, our hearts would be renewed in love for all that you have made. We pray for leaders now in their roles, and for leaders who have led us for a long time. Grant all who serve the people discernment, patience, and wisdom, that they may seek solutions rather than gratification of individual wishes and the building of egos and political capital. We pray for your good earth, O God, where we have contributed to the ravishing of your creation. We pray forgiveness and awareness. Give us the desire to live wisely as good stewards, taking only what we need rather than what is not ours to begin with. We pray for those caught in the bind of economic hardship. We pray for those suffering unemployment and underemployment. We pray for those waiting in fear to see what their future will hold. Ease our anxiety, O Lord, and remind us of the care with which we are held. We pray for our community. If we are blind to the station of our neighbors, needle our consciences and stir us to action. Where we may be of service, lead us and give us the strength to follow. Open our eyes to the people experiencing homelessness, to people living with addiction, to those suffering from mental and emotional illnesses, to those who are outcast and suffering. We pray for victims of violence, especially for the family of Tyree Nichols following the release of the video of his death. Help us to bring your shalom. To that end, we pray for your church, O God. Strengthen the ties that bind us one to the other. Speak your word to us and through us that we may give hope to a hurting world. We pray for the Presbyterian Church and for Glenshaw Valley. We make us in the image of your kingdom and help us to follow your way. We make this in all of our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in our hymn of meditation, If My People's Hearts Are Humbled.
Thank you.
With what shall we come before the Lord this day? We come with a love of justice and a passion for sharing Christ's love. Let us walk in humble gratitude, offering to God a portion of the gifts that God freely shares with us, gifts for healing the world. You have blessed us with an abundance of gifts for the flourishing of your world. May this offering of our life and labor reveal your love as we seek to share your promised reign with all of creation. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture reading today is from Micah chapter 6, 1 through 8. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Please pray with me. Holy God, your blessings are abundant and your wisdom exceeds our grasp. Fill us with your spirit as we hear your word this day, that we may be justice seekers and peacemakers, sharing your life among those who are forgotten, weak, or persecuted, and revealing to all your glory. Amen. So if you were looking for an easy path that would bring you favor in God's eyes, the prophet Micah has some bad news for you. The scripture here that we just heard is a court case with God as the plaintiff and Israel as the defendants. I think we could say that this lawsuit is ongoing and that we have also been gathered in as defendants. At first glance, it's a little difficult to determine who is saying what in the passage, so I'm just going to break it down for you a little bit. That first section, Micah is just introducing the case. And then God speaks. You can almost hear this like tone of hurt and pleading on God's part. I mean, are these people really griping about an uncaring or unjust God? So God reminds them about the Exodus from Egypt, the leaders provided in Moses and Aaron and Miriam, how Balak's plans to curse Israel were not only thwarted but completely reversed. He recalls Joshua's crossing of the Jordan from Shittim into the promised land at Gilgal. Like, if the people could only remember these and all sorts of other saving acts, they could never waver from following God's path. But it seems as though the God who delivered the people from Egypt, well, that God has become burdensome. And Israel responds with questions about, you know, just exactly how does God want them to worship? What should they sacrifice? They start out reasonably enough, burnt offerings, calves a year old. Those were pretty routine for the time. Then they start to exaggerate God's expectations. Thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil. They even dare to suggest that God might require the ultimate sacrifice of their firstborn for the privilege of a relationship. And at this point, Micah re-enters the courtroom and responds to the people's exaggerated pleadings. Like, come on, friends. You know that any sacrifice, no matter how large, any ritual that you do, any ceremony, no matter how perfectly observed or grandiose, those things don't matter at all to God. It means nothing to God unless it's done with sincerity. The people are religious. They're going to temple. They're following the rules about what to eat and what clothes to wear. They've become very skilled at talking the talk. What they're not so great at is walking the walk. The people are missing the point of what God wants. And what God wants is this life-giving, reciprocal relationship with God. And also with God's other beloved children. God is much more interested in the way that we live our everyday lives, and the passage ends by telling us to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. What? Those are pretty complicated concepts. Like, we say those words, but what does that mean? Well, justice is part of the nature and activity of God, but it's also something that we as people do to establish or restore community. So it's not enough for us to just wish for justice or complain that, you know, there isn't any justice. God calls upon us to be a voice for the oppressed, to be a voice for unprotected people, the widows, the orphans, the foreigners. Justice is actively fighting for the rights of handicapped persons, minorities, the poor, the elderly, for every single person that's treated as less than in God's, in every single person that's treated as less than God's child in our society. Mercy, some other versions say kindness. It's about love, loyalty, faithfulness. This is something, it's like the foundation, the basic foundation of every relationship, whether that's between spouses or friends or just community members or between God and humanity. Regardless of that, the relationship and what kind of relationship it is, it's not enough to maintain faithfulness just out of a sense of duty or because we're afraid of being punished. This mercy, this kindness should be motivated by love. And we're to love God just the way that God loves us. And because of that, we're supposed to share God's love with other people. Now, walking humbly with God, that means putting God first. It implies this attitude of like a reverence and openness, personal integrity, candor, honesty. And as we journey on this pilgrimage that we call life, we walk side by side with God. God is our constant companion. And you know, with God as our companion, it's not an easy path, because that path always seems to be changing. And I'd really rather go through that lovely field with pretty flowers, but God wants me to go up that craggy mountain. We have to keep our ears open and listen for God's voice wherever it might be heard, and trust that that craggy mountain, God's going to be with us if we're faithful. I recently met with a couple, Herman and Carla Avila. They live in Xela, also known as Quetzaltenango, in Guatemala. And they live by Micah 6:8. Herman migrated to the U.S. in the early 2000s to find work. He left Carla and their three children behind. And life in the States was really hard. But for a while, he was able to send enough money back for the family to survive. And while he was here in the States, he began studying the Bible. And he felt God calling him to something bigger. I can't remember exactly how it happened, but Herman was no longer able to work, or he had like lost his job or something. We met with like 17 different groups over the course of 7 days, so it's hard to keep everything in order. But I do know that he had to come back. You know, Carla was having, she was overwhelmed by being basically a single mother. And Herman returned home to Guatemala. And as a couple, they studied the Bible more and they participated in some community work. Herman still didn't have any luck finding a job. And even though the Avilas were struggling financially, their hearts went out to the many, many children who were working or living on the street in Xela. These were often referred to as the shoeshine boys. There were mostly boys, but there were some girls, and they made their money by walking around the street and offering shoe shines. And I'm not talking like 15, 16-year-olds. I'm talking like 6-year-olds that live on the street. Eventually, the couple met up with someone from a group called Inner Change. And it's an organization that creates relationships with the poverty-stricken throughout the world. And while working with Interchange, Herman and Carla have been able to grow a ministry in Shayla that now provides tutoring and scholarship programs. They have weekly Bible studies for the kids. And then also opportunities to play. The kids love soccer. But what Herman and Carla actually do, what they're really doing, is creating relationships. They're walking alongside families that are suffering or in crisis. They amplify the voices of the ignored. They foster community. And they lead people towards a relationship with Christ. It's hard to explain what those things mean, but building relationships, especially the part that requires creating trust, among these shoeshine boys was incredibly difficult. A lot of these boys and girls have experienced extreme trauma. They've had family leave them. They've been abused. Adults have not been kind to them. So it required being present, and being present persistently. A lot of these kids were cramped. They stayed, when they were able to, they stayed in like a dormitory, for lack of a better word. And this picture is the entrance of an old dormitory that is now closed. Because the Avilas and Interchange have created and built a different place for these kids to stay. I don't have a lot of pictures from this time and this point of meeting with Herman and Carla, because another thing that they do is that they work with an intake for children that have been deported back to Guatemala after making the trip to the United States, usually by themselves, all the way from Guatemala. It's a long trek. Again, they're not mostly, you know, upper teen kids. There are some as young as 10 that are being returned to Guatemala from the United States. And this intake place, hears that the kids are coming, they know which kids are coming, they reach out to family members of these children, and the family members have to be there within 2 days to pick up these children. Some of the parents are mad. They're angry at their children who have been deported back to Guatemala. Some of them have desperately missed their children. We were given the opportunity to watch the reunification of families and children, and my group decided against it. We thought that it was too intimate and too personal of a thing, and we didn't feel comfortable exploiting this very personal, heart-wrenching reunification. But that is another thing that Herman and Carla do. So they make sure that there are resources that when the children get there, that parents have, or some adult has been contacted, they do a medical evaluation, a psychological evaluation to determine, you know, if they're healthy and if they've experienced some sort of abuse. They likely have. Herman and Carla understand MICA isn't the place to look for an easy path. And that's because God's way is counter to much of what this world values. God's reign stands in opposition to a world where we run roughshod over the poor. God's reign resists a world controlled and preserved by the strong and for the strong. God's reign counters a world where mercy is withheld, where purity of mind and heart are mocked by commercialism, where we act as though the humanity of the other doesn't matter. God's reign counters a world where war is the norm and civilians are beaten to death by officers of the peace. We've been invited by Christ to embark on a path that truly is intimidating. When I think of everything that Herman and Carla have given up to care for these children who have been ignored, man, that's a tough path. I don't know if I could do it. I like to think I would. It's intimidating not because, you know, they're not being harmed or it's not a physically dangerous thing that they're doing, but it's just so very, very counter to worldly success. And it's intimidating, but people like Carla and Herman and Interchange and so many other people that I met, I know that it's possible because God wouldn't ask something of us that was impossible. It is possible for us to live and act with justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God because of the examples that we see around us every day, but also because of the example that Christ gave us. Thanks be to God for that example. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in our closing hymn, "We Will Walk with God." We're going to sing it through two times. Before we go back into the world, let me offer a blessing. Go now in the power of God's Spirit to seek blessing in the places God would give it, to be the blessing God would give the world, and in so doing, be blessed. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine brightly on your path as you walk the way of justice and peace, and the blessing of God bless you and keep you always. Amen.